Hello, I'm Mariëtte Snyman. Welcome to Calm, Clear and Helpful, a weekly podcast series on taking good care of yourself and others, introducing you to a wide range of wellness professionals ready to inform and inspire. Today's topic is when your loved one has dementia, insights and advice. My guest is Velma Geldenhuys, Senior Social Worker at ADASA, the Association for Dementia and Alzheimer's of South Africa, speaking from Pretoria. Welcome, Velma.
Good day, and thank you very much for the opportunity.
To our listeners, during our conversation, Velma will offer advice on communicating with a loved one who lives with dementia, and on creating a safe environment for them. Then, after our conversation, it will be fun question time. Velma, you and I are recording in September, the International Month of Alzheimer's. Before we come to this year's theme, please tell us more about ADASA.
ADASA is an association for dementia and Alzheimer's of South Africa, and we are also part of the Alzheimer's Disease International. And we are actually also appointed as the organization in South Africa to be advocates for the people living with dementia. We are national. We've got a region in every region of South Africa and offices where we can do a lot of things, support, and we also got a helpline, national helpline, where people can phone in.
You've mentioned the Alzheimer's Disease International. What is the theme for this year?
The theme for the year is stigma and dementia.
Velma, is there stigma attached to dementia? And if so, what are the consequences?
Yes, definitely. Until today, my experience as a social worker working in this field is definitely that there is still stigma around this disease. And also the discrimination with people that are diagnosed with a type of dementia. So if you look at the definition of stigma, I really went into what it is. It is a set of negative and often unfair beliefs that the society, group of people or individuals had about something or as now for the disease. A mark of disgrace associated with the particular circumstances and or the quality of a person. So any negative attitude or discrimination behavior against people living with dementia is definitely there. If we look at stats and researches, the Canadian people did a research on the stigmatization of dementia. And although it is a well-known disease that people say they've got empathy about that, is it still that people do not want to hear the word or the diagnosed? And there's, according to the research, there is only 4%. That people in Canadian do accept the what is dementia. And as I said, I really experience it also in my daily life as a social worker.
How would you define dementia? What is it?
Dementia is a term for several brain diseases that affect memory, thinking, and the ability to perform daily activities. Dementia is chronic and progressive and causes irreversible damage to the brain cells. Currently, there is no cure. And I just want to underline that dementia is not a part of normal aging. It usually affects older people. 1 out of 20 over the age of 65 will develop some degree of dementia, and 1 in 6 over the age of 85. That's the late onset dementia from 60 upwards. Dementia can also develop in younger people, but is less common. And that we say is the early onset dementia. And then it is also the only one that is inherited, early onset dementia, what can start at 30 and then till 65. So the diagnosis for early onset dementia will be in the late 40s, beginning of 50s.
Are there different kinds of dementia?
Yes, definitely. People don't understand this. There's a lot of misconceptions about this. There are over 100 forms of dementia, with the most well-known form of dementia being Alzheimer's disease. And the other types is the vascular type of dementia, the frontal temporal type of dementia, Lewy body dementia, HIV-related dementia, and a Korsakoff or alcohol drug-related dementia. So you must make very, very sure what type of dementia the person do have. And it is like cancer. I always compare it with that. The umbrella term is cancer, then you've got your types. And you won't treat one specific cancer the same as another cancer. So it's the same with dementia. It is very important to know about what type of dementia you've got.
What could cause dementia, Velma?
All the types of dementia that we know and what I've mentioned, there's only 3 causes. The Alzheimer's one is the protein built up in the brain, and it's a typical, you see a shrinkage brain in the tests and MRI scans, and there's plaques and tangles. The plaques is the proteins that form around the cells and make the cells die. And the tangles is the neurons that are tangled and cannot connect with each other. The second cause is that there is not enough blood flow to the brain, and that's the vascular type of dementia. And that's the history of having heart problems, heart bypasses, stents, cholesterol, and also many strokes. It is that all veins that are blocked, and then the cells, the brain cells, do not get enough oxygen. And the third cause is head injuries, like previous falls or car accidents, seizures, and all those things.
What are the first signs of dementia?
In most cases, dementia symptoms progress gradually over several years. The early signs are usually memory problems, but it may not be immediately obvious that you can see that. And it presents them in normal forgetfulness. That is already then in the stages 1 and 2. It is also then when you see it do have a lot of impact on the daily living, that is already going on for 2 to 4 years, but then you didn't notice it. Symptoms vary, and forgetting things is normal part of aging, but those with dementia have one or more of the following symptoms: short-term memory loss, diminished ability to plan activities, problems with language and communication, general confusion, disorientation in time and or in place, difficult in abstract thinking, lapses in judgment. That's the cognitive part, that there's no reality, no logical thinking, no planning. Difficulty performing a familiar activity, for example, making a cup of coffee, misplacing objects and problem keeping track of things, behavior and personality changes, sudden mood swings, challenging in understanding visual and spatial information, very important, loss of initiative or apathy.
And what should one do when one notices that a loved one has these signs?
Immediately get a proper diagnosis. As a person, must contact professionals. Not any professional can diagnose a type of dementia, and you can also, other professionals is like ADASA, our association, we can give you guidelines. Dementia can only be diagnosed by a qualified and experienced health professional, like a neurologist, that are specialized in the field of dementia. And we also can go to a geriatrician that are also well known in the field of elderly people, but also specialized in dementia. The same with a psychiatrist. You can't use any psychiatrist. They must know the pathways of the brain. There are several screening tests that you all know about. It's like the mini mental and MoCA test. So if you do that test, it's only a screening test. It's not a diagnosis. Don't stop there. When a person's symptoms notably affect their everyday life and functioning, it is important to reach out for that professional diagnosis. A proper diagnosis gives quality of life for the patient, carer and family. Although it is not curable, some of the drugs appear to help people that the disease can be more stabilized and to think more clearly, or can also have, as we said, a better quality of life that is everybody, the family as well as the patients. Drugs may also be prescribed to ease other symptoms such as restlessness or depression, or to help a person with dementia to sleep better. Those are the things that definitely help for the people. Other non-drug therapies such as music therapy or exercise can also help people with dementia to improve their quality of life.
And Velma, how does one handle the diagnosis and the shock of such a diagnosis?
Yes, it is a shock. People in my support group tell me they think it is a death sentence. But if you or someone else has noticed signs that your memory, thinking, behavior, and mood are changing, it can be scary. That's understandable. It's the same if you notice signs in someone close to you. You ask yourself, what if it is the bad news? You might feel it's better not to find out, but don't be like an ostrich. These are normal feelings, but it is definitely better to find out as early as you can, like any other major disease. Because if it is not anything serious, you can put your mind at ease. If it is some other conditions than dementia, you may be able to start getting treatment. There are also other diseases that can also cause confusion and memory loss. And that is where they start when they begin with the diagnosis, that they first test for anemia any infections, dehydrations, constipations, thyroid problems, incontinence, urinary tract infections, vitamin and mineral deficiencies. If it is a type of dementia, the family's five emotional reactions are denial, over-involvement, anger, guilt, acceptance. This is the grieving circle and emotions you feel. These emotions do not follow in a chronological way. It differs from person to person, but everybody must work towards acceptance. How sooner, how better.
And can the diagnosis change?
No, not on dementia diagnosis, but apart from diagnosed with a dementia, there can also be other diseases that can be diagnosed, like cancer, Parkinson's, and those other diseases. And that we also get a lot. I'm also in partnership, especially with the hospices, that we get cancer and Alzheimer, or Alzheimer and cancer. But the diagnosis of dementia can't change.
Which phases does dementia consist of, and are they predictable?
The speed at which dementia progress, as I said, varies from person to person. And although in the first two stages that you also not see that that is already dementia, it is already going through the whole brain. So it affects the seven stages that they are. Progress is different from a different type of dementia and will also vary how it affects the person specific in their functional part and in their physical part. The clinical progress of a dementia is described in seven stages. This is only a guideline and it can also overlap. If you go to stage one, the cognitive decline is, as I said, it is not aware of any changes and it seems to be normal aging. Stage two is very mild cognitive decline. Person occasionally do have memory lapses. It will not affect the activity of the daily living. Then in stage three, it is the mild cognitive decline. Cognitive decline becomes more noticeable by family, friends, as well as colleagues, if they still work. It starts to interfere with the ability and functioning of the activity of daily living. Person become anxious. You'll see that a lot. And it's then also for them, for themselves, they know it's more than only forgetfulness. In the stage four is the moderate cognitive decline. This is the stage where they avoid challenging situations to prevent anxiety and hide their distress from others. And cognitive decline will definitely show in a clinical interview at stage four. Stage five is the moderate severe cognitive decline. From this stage onwards, the person may no longer be able to function without assistance. Stage six, severe cognitive decline. The person now may require a higher degree of care. And stage seven, very severe cognitive decline. The brain loses communication with the body and increasingly difficult to function.
If I have a loved one with dementia and I want to get a better understanding of this person, which losses do they face?
Yes, there's a lot of losses they face. And I just want to always say, put yourself in the shoes of that person where you lost all your independence. Everybody wants to tell you what to do. But the losses that I experience is disorientation, no logical thinking. They are not in reality. And we talk about the dementia world and our world, because there is different worlds. And what we do ask is, don't think with your healthy brain for a person that do have a sick brain. Limitations in all the five areas of the brain are there: the cognitive part, the functional part, the psychiatric part, the physical part, and the behavior. And apart from that, there is also a limitation in all the senses, meaning that the eyes, a sight, that is what we said in the symptoms, the visuospatial sight start to decline. The hearing, the feeling, even taste, the things that I love to eat, they don't want to eat anymore, and as well as smell. And difficult speaking, understand, and expressing their thoughts, and they can't do reading or writing anymore, and lost time. You'll see that they do not have time.
And if a person suffers these losses, Velma, how might they react emotionally?
People living with dementia experience changes in their emotional responses. Like they may have less control over their feelings and how to express themselves. For example, someone may overreact to things, have rapid mood changes, feel irritable. They may also appear unusually distant or uninterested in things. And then if we look at the part that are also a limitation in the psychiatric part, these people lost their filters. And because of that, I always say it's amputated out of the brain. And then they have no control how they feel, what they do, or what they think.
Which changes in our situation should I prepare for when I have a loved one with dementia?
Yes, when you accept it and you can wrap your mind around this, then you can also start to think what we're going to do for the future. The family member with dementia usually become the family's center of attention. All the attention is around this person, and for nobody else is there attention. Relationships change. There's role reversals, like the person with dementia always looked after the family's finances, and this task has now fallen on you. That can be very stressful. It can also be vice versa, where it's on the wife that is diagnosed, and then the husband must start cooking, and he never cooked in his life. Change of lifestyle, change of social activities. You must change the home because of all the limitations of not seeing, getting disorientated, all those things that we mentioned. You must start to prepare and plan for a safe home that they can't fall, or things must not change. Changing in routine can affect them very much. Wrong names and faces, they do not recognize it. No loud music or TV. Friends coming over, that is the part in the brain that are getting very, very disorientated. And also the part in the brain that there is the hearing loss, that people can't take noises. For example, also why they can't go to a very busy restaurant anymore. And you'll see the signs that they say, I don't want to be here. So going on holidays, also, you've planned for holidays, but the moment you take a person out of his familiar environment and go on holiday, you struggle a bit. or you come home, or you handle it. There is ways to handle it if they are in a new place. Even if you've got for years and years going to the same place, the first 2 days they are disorientated. It can also go on longer. And the embarrassing behavior, the filters that they do not have, and no inhibitions that they think they can eat with their hand in public, they just don't know.
How should I handle it when my loved one with dementia fails to recognize me?
Yes, that do happen. And then it is on a very late stage. If I can just say how it begin and how it's going through the brain. The first part is short-term memory loss, disorientation. The next part is communication that are very much limited. Then the cognitive part and time. The second part is place, where they will say, I want to go home. I want to go home. And then the last part is people and long-term memory, where you can experience maybe that they can't remember what happened now. And then you get very confused. They can remember a lot of things, even what dress they wore at a certain occasion. Then you say, this person is playing games with me, but that's the long-term memory. And because of the environment, that can be a trigger. And as I said, not too many people around them. Time your visits, only short, because then a person will get very tired. And then it will also be that they can't recognize you. Wear clothes or scent that they associate with you. Introduce yourself and give them time. I always say to the carers, every morning when you go to your patient, say, my name is this, I'm your carer. And giving them time, that it can be a minute before they process what they said. So give them time. Try to prompt their memory by showing photos, validate their feelings, allow yourself to mourn, try not to take the things they say to heart. Consider changing how you communicate with this person, because communication is a very, very important factor in this disease.
When my loved one has dementia, how can I deal with the emotions that come up for me?
Yes, exactly what you ask, but it is also under the topic of care for the carer, that is very, very important here. Ask for emotional support only, and I say only, from persons who do understand the situation and are comfortable listening to you. It is the stigma that we are in, that you can't mention it to everybody because you will not get emotional support. You actually will get a negative reaction. Use support groups. Get tips how to take care of yourself. Prevent burnout syndrome, which often happen in this field of a carer taking care of a person living with dementia and family members. Avoid putting your own health at risk, considering the following tips. Become an educated carer, so you must have a knowledge about the disease. And we all do consultation, adults all do consultations, and we do trainings, and we do awareness campaigns. You can become an educated carer. Reserve time for yourself. As I said, if a person is diagnosed, everything is centering just around this person. Accept changes as they occur. Don't be too hard on yourself, knowing you are doing your best. I always say, don't want to be superwoman or superman. you're doing a good job. Seek out the community resources, and that can be a lot of resources. That can even be if you don't have time to cook or go for buy groceries. There's a lot of resources these days that can bring it to your home. Take breaks by using facilities like daycare and respite care. I usually say when I evaluate a carer that are totally overwhelmed, and then I also do the consultation, the children is then also in the consultation, they will always say, we're more worried about the person who do have dementia than the other person that are the carer. But then we make a decision according to their needs to put the person one day in a facility. Or if you want a break and you must go on holidays, you can use respite care where they look after a person for a week over Christmas. There's a lot of examples that I can give. Setting realistic work targets and expectations. We can be so hard on ourselves, but don't be unrealistic because you must take care of yourself. Create self-grow and development opportunities, ensuring that the relationship between your carer and the family is good. That is also very, very important because we get so caught up in the caring of this person that you don't have time to contact family or friends, and you get very isolated then. The quality of care you render over a period depends on your well-being and your moral. Carers need to realize that they cannot be everything to everyone, and that looking after themselves is most important because this is also affecting the quality of life that you will give that person.
A quick note on what I do. I'm a content entrepreneur creating podcasts and articles on living a happier and healthier life. By interviewing coaches, therapists, and other wellness experts from over the world. You'll find this content on my website, www.marietsneeman.co.za, and it's there to help you find just the right helping professional when you need one. The section Up Close and Personal on my website offers you a glimpse of the person behind many of the experts I feature. If you're a wellness expert keen on getting more in-person or online clients, or creating worldwide awareness of an issue close to your heart, let's talk about co-creating a podcast or article, or perhaps featuring you in a South African magazine. You'll find more information under Services on my website. To each listener, no matter your age, occupation, or where you live, how about creating your very own personal audio recording with me as a one-of-a-kind gift to someone you deeply care for? In this private interview with me, you can express your love for your partner, leave a legacy to your children or grandchildren, honor your mum or dad or a mentor. The possibilities are endless. To find out more, just click on Gift Podcasts on my website. Now, back to my guest. Velma, do you have any advice on communicating with a loved one with dementia?
We think that they act very strange, these people. But in the meantime, if you reverse it, you are the trigger that are not communicating in the right way with this person. Dementia gradually destroys brain cells and reduces a person's ability to speak and to understand speech. Losing the ability to communicate can be one of the most frustrating challenges for people living with dementia, their caregivers and their families. And then what does a person understand, a person living with dementia? Only 7% words, 38% pitch of tone, and there it is, 55% nonverbal or body language. So they communicate with their behavior and body language. If you want to get some guidelines for this, how to communicate, approach the person from the front, make eye contact, and give them full attention when they are speaking. Because the eye contact is very, very important, again, because of the limitation in visual spatial eyesight. You don't come from the back. They can't see you. And give simple choices, like a maximum of two. They get very disorientated. For example, if they stand in front of the cupboard and there's so many things that I can choose and I've got sight problems, everything is blurring for them. Avoid creating complicated choices or options and keep sentences short and simple. Focusing on one idea at a time and speak clearly and slowly. Remain calm, talk in a gentle way, keep your tone of voice positive and friendly, talk to the person as an adult and not like a child, because there we also do have discrimination because we belittle them. A warm smile and laughter can often communicate more than words. And what they tell us is that it's not what you do for us, but how you let us feel.
Velma, what does a safe environment for this loved one look like?
Yes, it is a safe environment, meaning a dementia-friendly home environment. Clear away unused items and remove small rugs, electrical cords and other items the person might trip over, because that's one of the most fatal things. If a person with dementia fall, make sure all rooms and outdoor areas the person visits have good lighting. See that stairs are clearly marked, more visible, and have handrails fitted. Remove or lock up cleaning and household products like paint, thinner, matches, candles. Why we want to do that is that we get the people that they are so confused that they can see Jack as a drink. So in this way, I just want to say it's like for a young one, medication and all those things. And what I've mentioned now, it's all to do with the sight limitation, that there are switch off stoves and other appliances at the mains, and avoid unattended open fires. The reason for this is, again, the limitation on the feeling. Because, for example, people can, in summer, they can put on two jerseys, or in winter, the opposite. So it is the limitation. Mobility, encourage the use of a walking stick or walker if the person is usually unsteady. And also medication management, consider a system or reminders for helping the person to take medication regularly, ensure prescriptions are regularly refilled, and keep a record of medications taken. There's also a problem in homes if there is only light tiles like beige, white, all these things affect the person, like a toilet also. Why do I say this? It is because they can't react on white. It is a problem for them because of not seeing three-dimensional, that they do not want to step in a shower, for instance. Stepping, for example, in a white shower, they can't see three-dimensional, so they think they don't want to step in because they feel they're going to fall through the floor. There's a hole in the floor. So what you must do there to make it safe for this person is to just put a primary color non-slip mat in the shower that they can know the floor is stopping where the primary color is, because they're reacting very good on primary colors. With the toilet also, keep this toilet open, and also let the water be blue in the toilet. It's all because of the sight problem. And also, like in eating, don't use whiteboards. If you can, get some colorful boards, because, for example, if you use a whiteboard, there's a chicken mash or cauliflower on, they can't see it. There's nothing that they must eat. The same if they ask for a glass of water, put it in their hand that they can feel it, or get glasses that are very colorful. It's all to do with disorientation. So the same with the tablecloth. If there's tablecloth on the table that, for example, do have this beautiful sunflowers on it, they think it's the ground and they want to pick it. It is all lying in the limitation, disorientations of a person. And also the room in the home that they get the most disorientated is the kitchen. Why? Because there is so many things going on in a kitchen. It is the washing machine, it is the dishwasher, it is where you store your groceries. And that is a lot of disorientation for them. And that is where they also then can take things like poison, like cleaning material, that they are so disorientated and think this is what they want and this is what it is.
Thank you for these practical pointers. They are very useful. Now, Velma, if I find myself in this situation, if I'm a caregiver or I have a loved one with dementia, where can I find information and support?
With ADASA, I'm going to give our contact numbers for you. Our national helpline is 0860102681. And then you can please go on our website, www.adasa.org.za. We've got a very beautiful website. And then further on, you can just click on the region where you stay or you want to go or get information. And then you will get the contact numbers there.
Thank you, Velma. I will attach the link to your website to the podcast, and then the telephone number will be in the podcast notes.
Yes. I just also want to ask the people to go on our Facebook, because there is a lot of information that we give on a daily basis of where's the support groups, the activities that we're doing, and also a lot of information like blogs and videos. It's really, really very informative.
Thank you. And that will be If you go to Facebook, you will just type in ADASA, A-D-A-S-A, and then you will find the Facebook page.
Absolutely. We're very busy there. Also on the other media.
Yes, I will get those addresses from you, and then that will all be in the podcast notes.
Okay, thank you.
May I ask you your fun question?
Yes. Go for it.
Velma, if you were a piece of wood, what would you like to be shaped into?
A piece of wood? Yeah, something that you can use, a useful thing. Because otherwise they put me in a fire.
That's
true. I would really love to be of a use, like a chair or a table or a cheese board.
I think you have just given us a clue to your philosophy of life, because you really are doing such helpful work. And I want to say thank you for taking the time to share your extensive knowledge about dementia and your first-hand experience with us today.
Thank you. I really enjoyed it, and may you have some clearance of the very complicated disease.
Thank you, Velma. And to our listeners, it was good of you to join us. I'd be honored if you'd subscribe to this podcast series where you download your podcasts. And if you found this episode meaningful, please share it with someone you care about. Go to my website, www.marietsneeman.co.za, for this episode's podcast notes and for free podcasts and articles on how to live a happier and healthier life and have more fulfilling relationships. To follow me on Facebook, Instagram, or LinkedIn, just search for Mariette Sneeman Journalist. The podcast series, Calm, Clear, and Helpful, is produced by me with original music by Mark Marie Sneeman. Catch you next Tuesday at 9:00.